Well, welcome. Welcome to Park Church. It's good to see you. My name is Matt. It's not Waldo. So far this morning, I've been told that in this poorly chosen shirt, I appear like Waldo from Where's Waldo fame and like a candy striper in the hospital. And I kind of feel like a pirate, something out of Peter Pan. Darlene in her prayer mentioned Pastor Tom. He's our interim pastor. He's here a few weeks out of the month. My name is Matt. I'm another one of the pastors here on staff, and I'm really happy to be here and to just to welcome you into this place. Right now, we're in a sermon series called Better Together, where we're looking at the different one another's in the New Testament. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, and so on. We believe that these one another's give us the key to how God means for us to treat one another and how God means for us to be better together. It's important to know this, though. We don't aim to be better together so that we can just feel good amongst ourselves. And we don't aim to be better together just for the sake of peace and love and being happy with one another, or so that we can have our best life together here. Although those are all good things. We aim to be better together because we believe that it's God's intention to use communities of Christians like ours here at Park Church to actually change the world. To go out into the world with the good news that we hear Sunday after Sunday and change the world. That's God's mission for us. The reason we do the Better Together series, the One Another series, is because that can only happen if we are better together, if we are encouraging one another, if we are praying for one another and supporting one another. If the one another's are just for ourselves, that's nice as far as it goes. But if they're for us, for the world around us, then we can change the world. God can change the world. There's world-changing stuff here. That's what I want to aim for this morning. So this morning's one another, you've already heard it. It is be hospitable to one another. And there it is up there. You know what the word hospitable means, hospitality. Here's what the OxfordEnglishDictionary.com says about it. It's the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers. The quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. And that's a good definition. That's what you experience when the hospitality program at the hotel you're staying in is working well. It's warm, it's generous, that sort of thing. When Peter's the guy who wrote this, he was one of Jesus' first followers. When Peter writes this, though, the word he uses gives us a little more than just warm and friendly and generous. That word in Greek, it's the word philoxenos. And philo, you probably could imagine what this is, like Philadelphia. It means brotherly love. That's what philo means, brotherly love. And xenos, that's where we get our word like xenophobia from. So like fear of strangers, fear of outsiders, fear of foreigners. So philoxenos means brotherly love of strangers, of outsiders. It's not just friendliness, it's not just generosity, but it's actually love for these people who are not currently part of your life, part of your world. It's why we actually wanted to do Name Tag Sunday this week, so that we can welcome the, quote, strangers to our lives together. All right, so this is found in 1 Peter. He was one of Jesus' first followers, like I said. After Jesus died and was raised from the dead, Peter wrote a bunch of letters, and we have two of them, and here's one. This is 1 Peter. This verse, though, doesn't end here. If you know this passage, it actually continues. There are two more words tacked on to this that make it a little trickier. The words are, be hospitable to one another without complaining, without grumbling. Now, here's where I tend to get a little tripped up with this. Like, I like the idea of being hospitable. I like the idea of hospitality. I like the idea of having people over to our house to sit around the fire pit and, you know, roast s'mores and have people over for dinner. I like that idea. But the execution of it is where I start to stumble. Because to do this, You have to like clean your house a little bit and make sure that, you know, right? I have to put like presentable clothes on because I'm usually, if you ever drop by my house, I'm wearing dirty mesh shorts and like the undershirt I'm wearing that day. I'm not presentable. The execution means that I can't do the thing I was otherwise planning on doing, which was probably sitting around and doing nothing, but I can't do nothing now. If you have kids, it means that you have to like manage your kids and take care of your kids so that your kids don't ruin the potential to actually be hospitable. Sometimes people stay a little too long, so it's helpful to devise like an exit strategy. Like, how are we gonna get out of this if it doesn't go? Right? You have to plan. You have to actually like prepare something, food or whatever the case may be. It's kind of work to be hospitable. And so this goes on in my head, at least, and it kind of goes on and on and on. And before I know it, internally, I've already done this with complaining. I'm complaining inside of my head before I even open the door. But hospitality, in the way that Peter is talking about it, is supposed to be done with the opposite of complaining, which is something like gratitude, or as an honor to welcome guests into your home or into your life. It's a joyful part of what it means to follow Jesus and to further his mission together. I'm just not great at it, and if Peter is instructive here, I'm not alone in this. So this is a message, full disclosure, this is a message to me before it's even a message to you. Some people I know here are actually great at this, and this is their gift, and we can stand to learn a lot from them. The thing I want us to see this morning is that we can all be hospitable. And we can all be hospitable in a way that actually changes the world. That might sound like a bit of hyperbole, but it's actually true. And I bet you already have some piece of this. Because we all know what it's like to need and then to receive the hospitality of others. To be welcomed into someone's house, to be met as a stranger in a new place. If you think about the English word hospitality, in it is contained the word hospital, right? Just imagine for a moment you break your leg, it's shattered. There is no hospital to go to. There's no place to receive treatment. It wouldn't heal correctly. You'd be in terrible pain. You would forever be forced to walk with a limp. The rest of your life would be negatively affected because no one took you in to take care of you, to treat you, to change the course of your ailment. What happens in a hospital, in an ideal sense, is that a sick person comes in, a broken leg comes in, it gets set, and because of the treatment they receive in the hospital, they're sent out on a path to get better. The trajectory of their illness is changed forever. That's a picture of what hospitality is all about. That's what we experience in the hospitality of others. Because sometimes we get lonely and it feels life-giving to be invited over and welcomed into someone's house for dinner or just to hang out or talk. We get sad and it feels great to be reached out to by someone who is thinking about you and who cares for you. We get hungry. Not just like physically hungry, but we get spiritually hungry and emotionally and relationally. We're hungry for meaning. We're hungry for fulfillment, for belonging. And it can be life-changing for someone else to welcome you into their life to feed you in this way. Think about the hospitality, the warmth, the brotherly love that you've experienced from other people. How much that has meant to you over your life. That time when your friend invited you over and you finally had that chance to talk about the thing that's been troubling you. Or you finally have a friend because you've been so lonely. Or you feel like someone actually finally cares about you. And when you leave their house, it feels like a huge emotional burden has been lifted, kind of like your bone has been set and you're on the road to recovery, to getting better. And showing one another hospitality, it's like we're a hospital for people, receiving them sick and sending them off better. That's a picture of what Peter wants for us. The times in your life when you've received that, isn't that refreshing? Isn't that encouraging and comforting? Can it be life-changing? We all can do this. This is what I want for you. This is what Peter wants. Ultimately, this is what God actually wants for you. So here's a helpful way just to think practically about what it means to be hospitable. Christian hospitality, the kind that Peter calls us to, means an open heart, an open hands, and an open home. Heart, hands, and home. They all begin with H, so you should be able to memorize that. And so we start by opening our hearts to others. But that's not going to happen if our hearts aren't in the right place. Because what happens if we try to open our hearts to one another and our hearts aren't in the right place? It just degenerates into complaining really quickly. So before we talk about what the three of these actually mean, it's helpful to know what should be brewing in our hearts, what should be making our hearts pump. What's the motivation for hospitality? Peter here doesn't directly tell us. The fact that he says it should be done without complaining makes you think that it should be done out of the opposite of complaining, out of joy, out of gratitude, something along those lines, out of compassion. The verse immediately before this one talks about love, how we should maintain constant love for one another. So love is certainly a motivating factor. In one of Paul's letters, Paul is another guy who wrote a bunch of letters. In one of Paul's letters, his letter to the Romans, he tells us pretty directly what the motivation is for this sort of hospitality, for this sort of welcome. And here's what Paul has to say about this. He says, welcome one another, be hospitable to one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The motivating factor, the heart mover behind hospitality, welcoming one another, is nothing other than Christ's overwhelming and unconditional and boundless welcome towards you for the glory of God. And this is worth digging in for a moment. What does Paul mean by as Christ has welcomed you? He means that though you're not perfect, though we all mess up repeatedly, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul says earlier in that letter. Though Jesus wants you to go this way and you end up going that way. Though we fail in the one another's so many times. Though all of that is true and then some, Jesus says, I love you anyway. I welcome you to myself anyway. I welcome you into my kingdom, into my family, to follow me, to be my people. Believe in me and don't worry about a thing. There's plenty of room in my Father's house for you. Even though you've turned your back on me, don't worry. I don't turn my back on you. In fact, I give my life for you to save you from the very things that you're doing to destroy yourself. That's how Christ has welcomed you. Even when you were enemies of God, Paul says earlier in this very letter. Elsewhere, Paul says, even while you were aliens to God, when you were strangers, xenos, from his promises, without hope, without God in the world, he says, in the midst of your darkest sin, it's at that moment that Christ died for you. As Paul writes in another letter, Ephesians, he says, now in Jesus, you who were once far off, you who were xenos, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's how he welcomed you, in spite of you. And you can actually see this when you read through the Gospels. When Peter wrote about being hospitable, there's no doubt he was thinking about Jesus, because when you look at the stories of Jesus' life and work, you see walking hospitality. You see him drawing flack again and again for eating with sinners and prostitutes and the lowest of the low rung on that social ladder. Jesus eats with them at his table. That was unheard of at that time. And that day, when children would come up to like big important people, they would be hushed away because children are not worth the time of that sort of big important leader. And Jesus scolds his disciples for trying to hush the children away because he had time for them. Let them come, he said. He fed people regularly who were lost and broken. He opened himself up, his time, his energy, his heart, to people who didn't deserve it. At times in the New Testament, it seems like Jesus is a walking hospital, healing people who are sick and cast out of society, people who wouldn't even be interacted with, nonetheless touched. Jesus reached out to touch them and heal them. Not only is Jesus' death the event that finally welcomes us all into him fully, but in his life we see it time after time after time, hospitality in the flesh. And he was this, not out of complaining, but out of love, out of compassion. Because when Jesus looked at people, he saw past their sin. He saw past their defects. What he saw was he saw people who were hurting. He saw people who were broken, or who were lonely, or who were embarrassed, or who were afraid, or helpless, or just sick, twisted, deserted. He saw people as lost sheep. And he knew that these people were not to be left out in the cold, strangers from God's presence forever, away from God himself, because these people belong to God. God sent Jesus into the world for these people. That's what he saw when he sees them, and that's what he sees when he sees you too. When we see Jesus act like this and be like this, this walking hospitality, what we see is the heart of God the Father himself. That's why, pay attention to what's said up there. That's why welcoming in others as Christ has welcomed us brings God glory. God glories. He's lifted up. He's lit up. He shines when people who are outside of his presence are graciously brought into his presence. God is a God of hospitality. He doesn't glory in shutting people out. He doesn't glory in condemning them in their sin or closing the door. This is what he glories in, bringing people in. If you think about the Bible, what you know of it, the very first story in the Bible is a story of God's hospitality. He literally creates a home for humans to enjoy one another and to enjoy himself, to enjoy what God has made for them. That's the very first scene in the Bible. It shows his heart. The very last scene in the Bible, it's a scene where God is at home with humanity, finally. God dwelling with his people, wiping away every tear from their eyes. The mourning, the crying, the pain is no more. That's the last scene. At the center of God's heart, from the beginning of the story through to the very end, with Jesus right there in the center, we find God as a God of hospitality. It's where God's heart for humanity lies. It's where God's heart for you is. And so this, God's welcome, his hospitality towards us in Christ, this is the foundation. This is the thing that ought to spring up from inside of us, that ought to make our heart beat. This is the motivation for being hospitable. So Peter's call to be hospitable to one another, it starts right here. It starts in our hearts. It's the attitude of our heart directed outward, reflecting God's own heart. It emerges from a hospitable heart, from a hospitable character. And it flows out by opening your heart, your hands, and your home. So let's get into those, finally. Open your heart to others. I was talking to a friend the other night about hospitality. For those of you who don't like preach sermons regularly, you have these conversations so that you can get ideas from other people who you really want to hear. So I was talking to him about hospitality, because he's one of those like admirably hospitable people. And he said to me, for me, hospitality is just being open. It's just being available to people wherever they're at. What he means by that is he tries to live his life with an open heart towards the people who he interacts with. And this idea is really challenging. And I don't just mean challenging in like this is difficult, which it is difficult, but this is challenging is as in it challenges our way of doing things. Like fundamentally. Let me tell you what I mean. When you go grocery shopping for the week, do you go to get in, get your business done, and get out? Or do you go in to get your grocery shopping done, but allowing yourself the possibility that maybe God is putting someone in the international foods aisle who needs your open heart? When you pull your car into the driveway after a long day of work, this is what I do. I make a beeline for that front door because we have a neighbor who I just don't, yeah. Do you do that? Or do you allow yourself the possibility that maybe your neighbor is kind of hovering in their front yard because they need a moment of your time. They need to talk to you about something. Jesus lived this sort of open-hearted hospitality every day. He got stuff done. He was steadfast on his mission. But he also had an open heart to the children who wanted to come to him. He had an open heart to the woman who had like a bleeding issue. And the fact that he spent time with her caused him to be late to something else. But like that walking hospital, he was there to make her well. Jesus was available to people who were in need because there was margin. There was room in his life for them. God help us. God help me. We're not good at making room in our lives for this sort of thing. A hospitable person makes room to be available. Sometimes in Jesus' life, it was people who were interrupting him, and he was open to them, and that was the case. But sometimes it was Jesus who through his hospitality, was actually scanning the crowd, looking for moments for people who needed an open heart. There's a story of that little guy Zacchaeus, if you're familiar with this story at all. This was a guy who was too short. He couldn't see Jesus, so he climbed a tree when Jesus came. And before Zacchaeus even had a chance to call down to Jesus, Jesus called up to Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, I need to eat with you tonight. I need to spend time in your house." He invited himself right over, which is a total social no-no. But Jesus could see this man was lost. He was in his sin. This man was ostracized, and he was alone. And Jesus' heart, his eyes were open to this man's need, to the needs around him. Part of opening your heart is opening your eyes to the opportunity to open your heart to others. As you go to work on Monday, or to the park with the other moms on Thursday morning, or as you're walking your dog later, open your eyes to the people who you interact with, to the needs, to the loneliness, to the emptiness, to the unmet hopes and unmet desires. Is your heart open for them? What would it mean for you to not focus exclusively on the task at hand or getting business done, but instead on the people and the need that you're surrounded with every day as you're getting your business done, as you're shopping for groceries and mowing the lawn and getting your stuff accomplished? To be hospitable means to make room for this to happen. And just this kind of open-hearted hospitality can change the world for people. Like an ideal hospital stay, your open heart can send people away healed, transformed, on a different track. It's world-changing, but it's deceptively simple and easy, and it's so every day that every single one of you can do it today when you go home, or today after we're done here. Open your heart to one another, to the one another's in your life, and see how things change. Open your heart. The next one, open your hands. We have two hands, so I'm gonna say two things by open your hands. On one hand, Jane sees what I did. On one hand, to open your hands to one another is an image of giving. It's an image of generosity. It's an image of giving what you have with an open hand to people who don't have it. Jesus lived this way, and he didn't even have anything. He didn't even have a home to do this, but he still found a way to be hospitable. You might not have a home or a great home. You might not have money to give, that sort of thing, but what you do have, you can give with an open hand. Because you can give your time, you can give your friendship, you can give your ear, you can give your help. That's what one another needs to get better together. That's what people out there need who don't know Jesus. And on the other hand, an open hand reaches out to people who are falling, who need the help to pull people along, to assist, to serve one another. The message from 2 weeks ago was all about serving one another. And if you remember, it's actually verse 10. So right after Peter says this, he says, like good stewards of the grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift you have received. It's no surprise here that Peter lines up love, hospitality, and service right in a row. I'm not going to spend any more time on serve one another or open hands, because you can go to the all-new parkchurchnj.com and watch the sermon from 2 weeks ago. Except, I'll say this. We need open hands from one another in this way more than I think we're willing to admit. More than I think we like to think. Because we like to think we got it all together. We don't really need help. We could be good with or without one another. We have it together. The quicker we do away with that myth, the better we're going to be together. Open heart, open hands. Finally, open home. And I want to camp out here a bit, because this means a lot of really important things. In the first century, hospitality, having an open home in this sense, wasn't just something nice you did for your neighbors. This wasn't the idea of having friends around the fire pit at home, although that's fantastic. But it wasn't like that. Back then, people didn't have homes. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have shelter. They didn't have clothes. And so to be hospitable with your home, it was a matter of life and death for some people. And in that day, especially for Christians, it was just what you did. If there was a traveler, he'd be invited in for the night for food, for protection, for shelter. This actually goes back to the Old Testament as well. There's lots of guidelines and stories about welcoming foreigners, strangers, and guests. Some end well, some end really poorly. I mean, Joseph and Mary, you know them, when they're on their way to Bethlehem, the whole thing about them not finding room at the inn was that they were denied hospitality. It shows how destitute they really were. But the expectation, the right thing to do in God's eyes, is to open your home to meet the needs of others. Is your home open to meet these very human needs of others? If someone needed a place to stay for a while, or just needed a break and a good meal, or someone needed sanctuary from something dangerous in their lives, is your home an open home for that? That's hospitality. Some of you, I know, do a fantastic job with this. You've had people live in your house. You had me live in your house for a few weeks years ago. Some of you do a great job with this. Keep at it. But those of you who have the resources to do this and don't do it, get in on it. So that's like human physical needs. Sometimes, though, the needs were actually more spiritual needs. In the first century, it was also the case that Christians didn't have places to meet, really. There was no church building with steeples back then. There was no awesome laser lights or really hip wood. They didn't have their own property. So when they gathered together as a church, as a community, they would count on people with larger homes to open up their homes so other people could come together, so that they could hear God's word together and share in a meal together and pray and sing together, so that they could fill spiritual needs. That's how they did church back then. Their faith hinged on the people who had resources to be hospitable like this. Hospitality was opening your home to provide opportunity for spiritual growth. When's the last time you invited someone over to your house intentionally to support them spiritually, to help them grow in their faith? That's a real challenge to those of you here who are in a position to do that. That's open home. But then the final aspect of showing hospitality out of your home, and this is very specific to Christians again. Back then, there was no New Testament yet, right? It hadn't been written. It hadn't been put together. There were no Christian books to learn from. You couldn't Google Jesus, or you couldn't even go to the library and learn about Jesus, or anything like that. The only way to learn about the faith, to learn about Jesus, was when Christian teachers and missionaries would come through your town, people like Peter and Paul and Silas and Timothy. They would come through your town from church community to church community, and they would teach the faith as they went. It's largely how Christianity was spread. This was how Christian mission happened. And for this to work, they relied on the hospitality of local Christians to open their home, to be a place to stay, kind of a base of operations. Sometimes they would go into a town and not even know where they would be staying at that time. A lot of Paul's letters, actually, kind of like Romans, you get the intention he's kind of fishing for a place to stay as he's writing. You know, when Tom Wilkins, who's our interim, When he's here, he's only here for 2 or 3 weeks out of the month. He's a traveling Christian teacher, pastor. When he's here, there's a family from the church, Dan and Corinne Brennan, who they open their home to Tom when he's here. That's exactly the hospitality that Peter has in mind when he talks about this. Besides that, though, I mean, for us, we don't really do Christian mission like this. And chances are, if you're going to a different town or if someone's coming here, they're going to like open their Hilton Honors app and find a hotel to stay in, right? And they don't need your food because they have Yelp and they can find the best sushi around. We don't need to open our homes like this to do Christian mission anymore. But the question is, for today's Christianity, in our context, how is God calling us to open our homes to further his mission? That's the question. There are emerging trends within Christianity that are saying things like hospitality, basic biblical hospitality, is the most impactful thing you can do for people to help them come to know Christ. Just opening your home to your neighbors as a base of operations for sharing Jesus with them. Making your home a safe place where everyone feels welcomed. A trusted place where neighbors know they can go and share their burdens and find compassion there and just find goodness there. A place where your neighbors who are lonely can find friendship and fellowship and empathy. It's simple, it's basic, it's an everyday thing, and every one of us can do this. But we don't. We don't do this. Why don't we? What gets in our way? For one thing, I think we forget it's our jobs as Christians. Christians have been sharing Jesus like that forever. But in this world, we've kind of relegated the Jesus sharing to special people who are really gifted at it or who get paid to do it. And that's a terrible view of what we're meant to be. It's your job to share Jesus with your neighbors. It's your calling. Hospitality is a great way to do it. But it's not just that. Because we don't tend to fundamentally view our homes in the right way. We don't tend to view our homes through the lens of how is God calling me to use this place to further his mission in the world. Like, our home is for ourselves. It's so we can be comfortable, we can relax, we can watch Netflix uninterrupted. It's that refuge from the crazy world and from the craziness of life. But what happens in that process is we really become more self-centered in relationship to our neighbors, as we become more isolated from them and them from us. Not only that, but we're also too busy. Our busyness, our homes are the reward for our busyness, for how hard we work, for the money we make, for the commuting, for the sacrificing for our family. But it's the very same busyness that A, prevents us from actually enjoying our homes or our families, and B, from using our homes for the purposes that God actually gives them to us in the first place. So given that, how can you open your home? Three things. Remember, it's your job. Change the way you view your home and just plan a time for it. I was reading some books on hospitality this week, and there's like thousands of ideas for how to do this. One is a husband and wife just decided we're too busy, we don't have time for our neighbors, so Tuesday nights, we're making it Taco Tuesday, and we're making it Neighbor Night. And every week, we're going to invite one new family, either from our neighborhood or even from the church who needs support. We're going to invite them over, and that's what we do Tuesday nights. Another said, we just planned block parties. We planned 2 block parties a year, and those were important events that we took on ourselves to get to know our neighbor and to be friendly, to be hospitable, to get people talking. Someone said that they drew a tic-tac-toe board and put their house in the middle and pictured who are the 8 closest neighbors to me and wrote, what are their names? What do they care about? And how can I do one thing to be helpful for them? And that year, that's what they did to be hospitable, whether it was mowing a lawn, bringing them food, or inviting them over for a meal. Everyone can do that. Everyone can do something like that. You don't need to live in a big house. You don't need to live in any kind of house. You could live in a condo or a dinky apartment. You could do this out of your college dorm. Jesus did it, and he didn't even have a home. So open your heart, your hands, and your home, and through your hospitality, see how God changes the world through this very everyday thing. You know, one of the reasons here at Park Church that we don't try to fill up your schedule with all kinds of events and all kinds of things and all kinds of Bible studies and whatnot is because we want this to be the thing that fills up your schedule. We want you to have Taco Tuesday neighbor nights. That's the goal for not putting too many things in the schedule. And this idea, I'm actually really excited about it. Imagine if we all did this. Imagine if in your neighborhood, and in your neighborhood, and yours, and in my neighborhood, if in each neighborhood of people who are represented here, there was a house of hospitality, that when people went to it, they experienced God's heart firsthand. It was real and tangible and livable. And people who were hungry and needy and sickly and yearning for him, whether they knew it or not, have a chance of finding God there. Imagine if we did that. Imagine if your home took on new meaning like this. How refreshing it'd be. How life-giving it'd be. How renewing for your own faith it would be. Imagine if you yourself became like Jesus, a walking embodiment of hospitality. How the lives at your office, the lives at your school or at the park would meet a transforming force as Jesus meets them. How much hunger God could satisfy. How much emptiness God could fill. How much loneliness God could alleviate through you, through us together. Imagine if the entire church did this, so that throughout Monmouth County, this was happening for the glory of God. Imagine what God would do through this very simple thing, being hospitable, opening your heart, your hands, and your home to the one another's you're surrounded with. Let's pray that God could empower us to do this. God, thank you for your gracious and overwhelming and abundant and boundless welcome of us to yourself. Lord, you know the things, the barriers that we put up between ourselves and you. You know the distance that we've created between ourselves and you. Thank you that you have crashed down those barriers and overcome every distance to welcome us to your side, into your family, into your home. We pray, Lord, that we would be filled with that spirit, with your spirit of generosity, of outpouring of love and welcome for one another. We pray, God, for the practicalness of being hospitality, for the practicality of being hospitable. Help us, God, to open our hearts, to open our hands, to open our home, to welcome people in. Lord, let us do this for one another, but let us also do this for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for our friends and family who don't know you, but who need to know you whether they know it or not. We pray, God, that through our hospitable hearts, other people would come to follow you, and then they can be hospitable also. Lord God, we thank you that you love us, that you are gracious to us, that you are generous, that you are with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.